Good morning. Can you hear me? Good to see you all. Thank you ever so much for the reading. We've just heard one of the parables from Luke's Gospel. And as with most parables, Jesus tells a story first and then moves into teaching a really, really important lesson. And to really understand what the parable is about, we often have to jump to the end, read the last page, and then go back to the parable. So on the last page, Jesus says something really stark here. It's one of the starkest, strongest messages in the whole of the Bible. And he says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. It's absolutely black and white. We can only have one reference point in life. It's either God or it's money. Now, for me personally, when I read this story, I thought, well, look, I'm not particularly materialistic. I'm not here at this end of the spectrum where I have to have the flashiest house. I usually keep my car for about 20 years till it's kind of fouls its waff. And my mountain bike's not the flashiest, and that keeps going until finally it wears out. So, yeah, look, I'm not most materialistic person, but it's not that simple, because it's way more subtle than that. If I'm not at that end of the spectrum, I'm at the end of the spectrum which God says he wants us to be, because in this passage it says there's no middle ground. You're either at one or you're at the other. So let's take a look a bit more at the parable. So this is called the parable of the shrewd manager, and in here we have a manager looking after the estate of a very wealthy person. And that wealthy person realizes that he's being shortchanged by the manager and says, I'm going to fire you. Now, I didn't realize in those days that you had to give a notice period, but obviously you did, because he told the manager he was fired, and then the manager was allowed to carry on managing the situation for a while. And the manager thinks, I'm going to be on the street in a few days' time. What skills do I have? What job will I find? And then he thinks, I know what I'll do. I'll start forgiving my master's debts. So he calls the first person in. How much do you owe? 800 gallons of olive oil. Make it 400. Next person, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat. Make it 800. And he does that to try and buy friends. So when he's on the street, he'll have people who are favourable and want to repay him. He was shrewd. And when the rich man fired him, the rich man, you can almost see it cynically saying, okay, smart pants, that was the smart thing to do, but you're gone, you're fired. And he's fired. And Jesus tells that story about shrewdness and how the manager tried to uses worldly influence to secure his future. And then Jesus, before he gets into the teaching, just comes to this critical point where he says this verse, people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world than a people of the light. So Jesus is drawing two really different standards here. There's a people of the world, which is and how we deal with each other shrewdly. And then there's people of the light. And that's where we're asked to be. We're asked to be as part of people of the light. So God's standards aren't just different. They're actually polar opposites when we start unpacking this. Yet, I think most of the time, our minds are really blinkered by the Western world and the Western system we live in. And that came home to me several years ago when I was doing some work in the Pacific Islands, and I was working in this telecommunication company for a short time. And every day when you walked in, all the staff put on Christian music, and you're in this open plan office about half the size of the auditorium, and they were blaring out Christian music. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. The chief exec was an atheist and he couldn't stand it, and he had his office with the door closed in the corner. So you had this wonderful Christian atmosphere in this office. But there was something really strange that I couldn't reconcile. When I started looking at the company's books, you found that there was a fair bit of fraud. And what happened in the fraud was a particular employee would just waive their neighbour's phone bill once a month, in fact, once a year. And that was quite prevalent. And I couldn't reconcile this at all with these wonderful people playing their Christian music and then they were committing a little bit of fraud here and there on the side. So I went and spoke to the chief exec and asked him, I said, look, can you explain this to me? I really struggle with this. And he said, look, it's quite simple, Mark. He said, you come at it from a Western perspective where all the phone bills, they belong to the corporate, the money belongs to the corporate. But you've got to remember, only a couple of decades ago, everyone here was working on their small holdings. And if Stephen came knocking on my door and said, Mark, here's some tarot that just grown and gave them to me, it was customary, and still is customary, for you to give back the fruits of your labours to Stephen. So if your pawpaw just ripened, you give some pawpaw back to Stephen. And these customs have been going on for centuries, that you exchange the labours of your hands with your neighbour. And so the CEO said, look, that's the world view and the world system that these people have had for centuries. And then suddenly we superimpose this Western corporate model over the time. And he said, no doubt in time, they get used to it and we'd be all fine. But in the meantime, we've got a clash of cultures, big clash of cultures. And that was probably the first time it really got me thinking about this Western perspective we have and just how blinkered it is. Now, I'm not for one minute suggesting if you work in a telecommunication company, you should waive your neighbour's phone bill every month. Not suggesting that at all. It is worth thinking about what worldview are we called to follow as Christians? Is it one where we have this very codified system of law that says these possessions, this money belongs to me and here's all the legal protection to make sure it stays yours? Or would you rather live in a worldview that says, well, look, actually you exchange what you have with your neighbours and you share and you enjoy the fruits of each other's labours? Two very different worldviews. And we tend to get very dominated by this one. So which world do we live in and what kind of world does Jesus call us to live in? Well, there's probably three things that come out of the parable as we look at it that are very relevant to us. First one is what we have. Second one is where we belong. And the third one is who we are. So what we have. Well, in the parable talks very clearly about possessions. The rich person had his possessions. And then when Jesus comes to his teaching, he talks about how we are all entrusted with blessings from God. And if we can't be trusted with small things in this world, how can we be trusted with eternal riches in a future world? So here's the contrast between possessions that you believe you own for yourself and blessings which are entrusted from God. Possessions versus entrust. And as I've thought about this passage, I've just been quietly looking at how my thinking works as I interact with the world. So a couple of weeks ago, I was on a plane and you take off out of Wellington. And if you're flying north and you're on the left-hand side, you look out the window and there's Karori down there. And for us, it's easy to see our house because our house is on the edge of Johnson's Hill. So you fly out and think, there's our house. And then as you go higher, you start to see the Cook Strait open up behind and then the beauty of the sounds and the Kaikoura Mountains. And you think, wow, this is just incredibly beautiful. And then it occurred to me, isn't it ridiculous how I think that is our house? Got this whole wonderful picture of creation out there, which is absolutely stunning. That's been there for thousands of years, will be there for thousands of years after I go. Yet I think somehow we or I've got a right to that little piece of creation, that I own it, it's our house, it's my house. But in God's perspective, that's not how he views it. This is his creation. How can it be so ridiculous to think that I own a bit of God's creation? So I've got some work to do with the way I think. Then I was walking up Willis Street last week, and I go past a beggar outside New World. And I watched what my mind did. The first thing I felt was I felt real sadness to see someone having to beg and live on the street like that. It's incredible sadness. And then the second thought that went through my mind said, shall I give some of my money to that person? And then the third thought was, what would God want me to do? And therein lies the issue. The second thing that went through my mind is, shall I give some of my money to that person? So clearly, I've got a huge amount of work to do, because I see it as my money, not as God's money that's entrusted to me to help that beggar. And that's a challenge for us all to think. What's the first thing that goes through our mind? We might get to the right answer in the end, but as Christians, the first thing that goes through our mind should be, I'm entrusted with these blessings, not the world's view. These are my possessions. Shall I, shan't I share them? So we might not be right at the end of that materialistic spectrum. Are we at that spectrum where God wants us to be, the place that we're challenged to be, where we're serving God as the master, not possessions? Because what we're entrusted with to distribute for God's glory, for the blessing of others, as opposed to my possessions, which are for my enjoyment and my gratification. So part of this challenge is about what we have. The second part is about where we belong. We've got the world here, and we've got the people of light here. And we're challenged to be part of a people of light. So how do we do that? How do we build our foundation, our foothold? How do we put our feet on the rock as part of a community of people of light? Well, clearly part of it is coming together. So it's wonderful to see everyone here this morning. The church, our community at church, is a critical part of being part of that community of light. We spend 40-50 hours a week at work as part of the community of the world, and really important to put those few hours in a week to get our foundation as part of the community of the people of light, at church, in small groups. And I joined a huddle group about 6 months ago. It's really, really good. I'm really enjoying it. It's really good to be held accountable. It's really good to be challenged by other people in our community. And one of the challenges that we've got in our huddle is, when we come to church, not just to ask people how they are, but to actually encourage everyone here in our walk with Christ. So one of our challenges at our huddle group is, at the end of services, to say, don't just talk with people, but ask here each other, what did you learn from God this week? What's God challenging you about? How can I encourage you in your faith journey? Because most of us come to church, which is part of putting our foundation in the community of light, and then we just talk socially. But part of the challenge is to encourage each other in our faith afterwards, as we have coffee and when we meet each other during the week. So in terms of where we belong in a community of light, and we need to participate in that community, encourage each other in the community. Then also, we're entrusted with God's word. So not just entrusted with physical, tangible blessings, we're also entrusted with spiritual blessings. So entrusted with God's word. So let's read it. And then thirdly, we're entrusted to be the light of the world. And you can't hide a light when it's pitch black and you go out in the hills. If you see a light in a hut in the distance, you don't see the darkness, you see the light. And it might be weak, it might be flickering, it might be a small candle, but you see the light. And although we all feel unworthy to be light in the world, we're called to do that. and to do our best to be a light in a dark world. It's really important that we create that belonging as people of the light, with people of the light, and not just simply belong to the world. And thirdly, it's about who we are. What are our values? And what values are we called to? So if we can only have one master, what values does our master want us to have? And there's one really important one in this parable, where the parable is called the parable of the shrewd manager. Now, if you look in the Bible and you look in the Gospels, you won't find any reference to Jesus or any one of the apostles, Paul, Peter, asking us to be shrewd. It doesn't appear there. And in fact, if you start digging around in history, you find the word shrewd comes from an ancient medieval word for villain, or for actually an evil person. So that whole word shrewdness has got connotations of trying to get a better deal for yourself than others. So it's quite a selfish kind of word. And the parable of a shrewd manager is quite distinct from what we're called to be. Now, some of us in this congregation, we work in the commercial world. We work in a world of finance. And we want to be smart. We want to be sensible. I work at the university. You want to be smart. You want to be sensible with students' money. Students are hard up, and it's really important that we kind of maximize the value we get for their money. So we're called to be, in the Bible, wise but not shrewd. So I think that's really important. So as we deal with our own money that we've been blessed with from God, using the wrong word, so as we deal and manage what God's given us, as we manage what we're entrusted with at work, it's really important that we use God's values and not the world's values. So shrewdness actually compares with wisdom that God wants for us as people, as the light. And it's really important to have that Christian compass in the world, that we pray for wisdom and we seek God's wisdom in a world that would drive shrewdness and self-enrichment. So there are just a few things that come out of that passage that are really important. There's a challenge about whether we believe in possessions or whether we believe we're entrusted with blessings from God. Do we want to belong to the world, or do we want to belong and live as people of the light? Do we want to be shrewd, or do we aspire and seek wisdom from God? And that takes us right back to the start, to the verse that I mentioned that ends this particular reading we had today in the teaching. You, me, we cannot serve both God and money. Which is your master, and which one is your reference point? Really, really important as we go out this week and as we go out in life, to think about which one is our master, which is our reference point. You can only have one master, you can only have one reference point.